98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
NBA players are load managing their way into a public relations crisis. Draymond Green says today's players are soft as hell. Shaq says they're soft as pudding. And you're going to see why this postseason, when many of the front-running teams are expecting to find and flip the switch at the same time, that doesn't always work. That's another reason why our Phoenix Suns are going to be sentimental favorites during the playoffs. Their team is old school and hardcore when it comes to participation. They're not into sitting out games, at least not yet. But I don't think it's going to happen at all, because I think Chris Paul is going to be an MVP frontrunner by the start of the playoffs, and he is not going to squander that kind of opportunity for a night off. Just look at the rest of the NBA. James Harden out again with injury. Anthony Davis just coming back. Giannis and Kawhi, they take their recovery nights without an ounce of remorse, and all of them seem to be missing the point of professional sports. That is, the best basketball teams kick backside on a nightly basis because they honor the game, because they're chasing greatness, and you do not get there in the training room. And that is why the Suns would be the perfect antidote to what currently ails the NBA. Today's Bickley Blast, brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at the newly renovated Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Shop online at ChapmanBMW.com.
I have a retraction to make, an apology to Jared
to
Carlin.
Me? What'd you do?
Florida State did win a national championship the 2013 season in 2014 with Jameis Winston as a freshman.
Okay.
I have very little recollection of that, mostly because I remember the next year him getting crushed by Oregon in the playoffs, and by the fact that Florida State over the last four football seasons is 21 and 26. That is not Super League worthy.
Okay, then I also apologize for just jumping and believing you were right, because I just assume he's wrong.
I said it was about 5 years ago. It was 7 years ago, okay. So I was a little bit
all
wrong,
right. But so on to the Phoenix Suns and what we have in front of us as a basketball time. How many games left in the season?
They played 57, so they got 15 left.
Okay. So the idea of this basketball team not load managing, if they resist the urge and just say, you know what, let's not do that. Let's go full on old school and just play this thing out. Let's play every game with our hair on fire. It's an exhilarating concept at a time when so many NBA stars thumb their noses at the fans and the game and everything with this load managing. Okay. Forgive me for those who cringe anytime I bring up the greatest basketball player in history, but it's one of my life's great blessings to have gotten to cover that guy and watch him up close. I can tell you without a doubt that Michael Jordan had so much respect for the game of basketball, he would never take a night off. There are a lot of guys who are like that, who believe, you give me a chance to play basketball, and I'm not going to choose to sit down. And I've got a pretty good idea how this happened. I think analytics and science and knowledge and studies and recovery rates and this and that. Personal trainers get in athletes' ears and go, look, this is how your body fires with this much rest and this much sleep, and this is what you shoot for. And okay, fine. But if the Phoenix Suns go this entire opposite direction and say, you know what, there's one guy we need to rest, but he doesn't want it, so we're not going to force him to do it, and we're just going to play basketball. And by playing basketball and not trying to game the system to our benefit, we're going to hope that karma smiles on us finally. I admire that. And it bothers me that at times I think the Suns need to consider this. You know what it is? It's like doing steroids in baseball. If you're clean and you're virtuous and you say, I'm not cheating, and everybody around you is doing it, you're going to start going, man, I better think about this. And that's how I feel about load management with this basketball team.
Because everybody else is doing it, should be considered?
Mm-hmm. And I hate having to think about these things, because I know the Phoenix Suns have to be thinking about this. Have to be. So, it isn't going to happen anytime soon, even if it does. Well, maybe it could.
But before they make that determination, they have to assess what the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
Is the goal to be the number one seed? If that's your goal, that butts heads against the whole load management, resting players when they're healthy, and just absorbing a loss.
Yeah, but if you're like the Clippers, the deal with the Clippers is they've just got a guy and guys, but a guy in Kawhi who is just, he's doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And his people are going to tell him, and he's going to dictate, and that's going to be what's done. So it's not exactly an organizational policy. It's adapting to your best player.
Earlier this season, Kawhi Leonard played in back-to-back games for the first time in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. And then, and this isn't very, this isn't all that far off from the DeAndre Hopkins story either. But it, but in the context of basketball, if the Suns do this and say, you know what, it's more important for us to lock in and get to a level of and standards of consistency and just honor the game and see what happens, I can get behind that. I just would be keeping my fingers crossed the whole time. All right, the other item, the other big item would be Chris Paul.
One thing I wanted to go ahead. You brought up Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Michael Jordan stats, and there's so many of them. As a 40-year-old, clearly a shell of his former self, in his last year in the NBA with the Washington Wizards, played in all 82 games and averaged 37 minutes a game.
Well, well, and it's also reflected in the kind of practicing that you see this with it in terms of the truly great players, a chance to compete. It's just that, and they're not passing on that. And I think Chris Paul is kind of built in that fashion. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. I think this is going to be one of the real embraceable traits of this basketball team, along with the general manager, the head coach, Chris Paul, the young kids, the development of DA, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the other story that I do think is going to happen, even though it seems like a real long shot right now. Nikola Jokic, all right, is the front runner for the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
We both can agree on that. Tim Bontemps, who we had on, did a straw poll and claimed that Nikola Jokic was running away with it, right?
Yes.
Okay, now that was then.
Uh-huh.
My feeling is Nikola Jokic, even though people who have watched him play understand how gifted he is and what a phenomenal passer he is for a big guy, he's also relatively anonymous. This is not a marquee European player like Luka Doncic. And it is my thinking that the people who vote for NBA MVP wouldn't find a better victim if they decide to give a Chris Paul Career Achievement Award this year than Nikola Jokic. That's my feeling. If on the other side you had LeBron putting up an amazing year up against Chris Paul, that might be a different story. I just think that if the Suns do go all out and they continue to win and they get a top two seed, there's going to be a seismic shift in MVP voting. Just a prediction. I may be way wrong.
I'm not there yet. Jokic is, I agree to an extent, he doesn't have the same shine
mm-hmm.
as Luka Doncic.
Profile, yeah.
But there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because for 3 years, the American public has been force-fed the pudgy guard named Luka Doncic four times a week.
Didn't you?
Like, I feel like I've watched every Luka. I'm going to say this, okay? I got to say this. I got to get this off my chest. This is not personal, and I'll preface everything I say by saying Luka Doncic is a wonderful basketball player, bordering on savant.
Mm-hmm.
But when do we get to the point where we include Luka Doncic on the all-time list of greatest fat athletes?
Wow. You made a prediction a week ago. What'd you say? You said, I'm going to predict that someday he's going to show up to camp 300 pounds.
I'll stand by that.
Oh, man.
And I realize not everybody can be as toned muscularly as I am.
Right? Yeah. I know. It's a burden.
Great player.
Some people are naturally pillowy.
It's true.
The interesting thing about Jokic, based on what we were just talking about load management, mm-hmm. he has played in every single game this season.
Yes.
And he's the only one in the top, like, 15, if you look at points per game, some that have come close to that.
He's deserving of the MVP trophy.
And he has, because of Jamal Murray's absence, if they stay afloat, that is a huge advantage.
But if they don't, if they tick down and barely get in or whatever, then I think it might go the other direction. Now, I just see this coming for Chris Paul, because there's going to be no better year for him to win this award than this year.
But here's another thing with Jokic, and a lot of it is statistical as well. It's not going to happen unless he just absolutely starts racking up assists at an alarming rate. But it's not impossible at this point for Nikola Jokic as a center to average a triple-double. He's averaging 8.8 assists per game.
Same as Chris Paul.
He's second in the assist figures?
Same assist per game as Chris Paul.
He's second in the league in triple-doubles behind Russell Westbrook, who we can all agree, he racks them up, but most of them are meaningless. He's nearly 3 points ahead of everybody else in player efficiency rating, if you want to look at that particular metric. I think he's the runaway choice right now. And that's not universal. We play some clips from Colin Cowherd where we poke fun at it. I think this is a little bit more thought-provoking. But he had his top five MVP candidates right now. I believe it was on yesterday's show. He's got Chris Paul number one.
Number one.
Chris Paul. Do you understand this? 11 straight winning seasons. Now, that wouldn't be impressive if you played for, like, you know, a well-coached team. No, that's with the Hornets, Suns, Tanking Thunder, Clippers, Rockets. 11 straight winning years. By the way, the Suns have the second-best record in the NBA. Now, do you understand, for 11 years, in a sport where almost everybody makes the playoffs, they were a tire fire. Phoenix was miles out of the playoffs. By the way, last year, Oklahoma City wanted to tank. Chris Paul got him a 4 or 5 seed in the West. He leaves. Now they're on an 11-game losing streak. Next to LeBron James, nobody in the NBA has the ability to change your basketball team's win-loss standings. Nobody except Chris Paul. Doesn't dunk. He's not flashy. Doesn't shoot threes. So nobody loves Chris Paul.
And I think that last point, there's something to it about the flashiness. He is very much an old school type of pass first point guard. And we've seen it before in the history of MVPs in the league, especially in this town.
Yep.
Steve Nash was a lot more flashy than Chris Paul is, but just as effective. Yep. I don't have him number one.
No.
You want to hear my top five right now?
I want to hear top five, yes.
At number five.
Jared, do you have sound ready for him?
I have a...
Come on,
ready?
Jarrett.
Bickley and Murata present Top 5.
Wow. Took this one out of the mothballs.
He did.
Coming up, depressed and impressed. Impressed, depressed. What was it
called? Oh, right.
That was before my time, even.
Yeah.
How about what's on your mind, though?
I have nothing on my mind.
Oh, well, that's why we stopped doing that.
I tinkered with the idea of putting Julius Randle in the top five.
Whoa.
With what he's done for the Knicks.
All right.
I think he's sixth right now. I got Giannis at five.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Paul George at four. I know he's missed time. He is playing at an elite level right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this is based on right now.
Right now.
Number three, Chris Paul. I agree with you. We're at the time where there could be, did you use the phrase seismic shift?
Yep.
There could be a seismic shift in thinking.
I think it's happening.
You might be right. Number two, the guy the Suns are going to see tonight, Joel Embiid. I know he's missed time as well, but statistically, man, a beast. And he just dipped under 30 points per game. He's at 29.9.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to become the first big man since a long time to score 30 points a game. And I got Jokic number one pretty comfortably at this point.
Okay, my top five, with the caveat that I believe Chris Paul is going to make a push and win this award if he stays healthy and the Suns lock up a top two seed. Number five, Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks. Number four, Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. Number three, I agree with you, Chris Paul. Number two, Joel Embiid. Number one, Nikola Jokic. So I'm right with you on the top three.
You know what? I want to change my number five. Steph Curry.
Steph, okay.
I mean, this has got to be...
That's totally... statistical.
No, the guys you mentioned they're all valid.
Yeah.
Paul George is a valid candidate. Dark horse, I mean.
This has got to be a year with the most valid candidates.
The year with the most candidates who get dinged by missing time for injury.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden. We did this 2 weeks ago.
He would
be in my top three.
Yep.
Yeah, James
maybe
Harden.
In my top two. He's out.
Damian Lillard. Should Donovan Mitchell get...
Hasn't missed much time, but... And I love Damian Lillard. I've said that many times on this show, but how much better is Portland? I don't know.
You talked about if the Suns get a top two seed. Utah's been number one for a really long time. Should Donovan Mitchell be considered?
Definitely.
26 points a game.
We don't know how much time he's going to miss.
Crack my top five.
And the real answer is, and he's probably missed much too much time to consider him, but LeBron James, neither of you had him in the top five.
Again, for missing that time.
Yeah.
LeBron has missed 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of games.
It sure is. And so this is really a wide open thing. It's a wide open deal. I think that Chris Paul has a chance, if the Suns survive this stretch of schedule and hold their own and have some more hallmark victories, which they're going to, it's going to change everything. You're playing these East Coast teams right now where there's the heaviest concentration of media, NBA media. So I think it's going to happen. And I think Colin Cowherd, I don't always agree with him, but I think he's right on the money with this. I think that there comes a time when you really have an epiphany over the team building skills of Chris Paul, especially a guy that plays so landlocked and below the rim.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Colin Cowherd sound, by the way, from Fox Sports Radio.
Where would either of you have Devin Booker in a top 10 in the MVP as of now?
No, I didn't stretch it out to 10, but I am shocked to see the latest rankings and we have that lunch bet about a Phoenix Sun being in the top 8 in the MVP. Mm-hmm. I can't believe there's still betting outfits and odds makers who don't have Chris Paul in the top 8. That's crazy to me.
It's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, Steph Curry kind of leapfrogged a lot of people here in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's even fair, but... Because if you're going to put Steph Curry, then you should consider like Bradley Beal, because Bradley Beal is averaging the 31 points a game too for a team that's right on the edge of the playoffs, just like the Warriors.
But right on the edge of the playoffs because the Eastern Conference is bad again.
Well, that's true.
Why do you keep wanting to add guys to our list? There's nothing wrong with our list.
No, I'm just. I'm
what
just,
about this guy? But what about this guy?
Well, have you considered this guy though?
Right.
I'm just. It's amazing, and this is why I always say that the NBA has never, ever, ever had more talent in it and better players. Is that there's just so many viable MVP candidates this year, and it's not because there's not a good candidate; it's because there's so many good candidates.
Is that your roundabout way of saying that LeBron's better than Michael Jordan?
Well, I mean, it's your words, not mine. But
Michael Jordan could step on the court right now and average 26 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Sure he could.
26 what? I don't know. Speaking of Steph Curry, got to play this for you too. This one you'll have fun with. There was talk on Undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp about Steph Curry, what he's doing. It's obviously remarkable what he's doing from an individual basis. But Skip Bayless won't give him any props at all compared to some other players from the past. Listen to this little exchange.
I've got Akeem, I've got Oscar, I got Dr. J. These are all better than Steph right here, right now. I've got David Robinson. You think not?
No.
Karl Malone,
no.
Second all-time leading scorer.
No.
Right? Oh, stop it.
No.
I got Bill Walton.
No!
Oh, stop it!
No!
You have no idea what you're talking about. Do you remember Bill Walton?
I do!
He dominated pro basketball the way very
few
have dominated. He got hurt.
That's my point.
Did he not dominate a finals, just take it over?
Skip.
He took it over. He was the runaway MVP. Regular season finals. I haven't seen that from Steph yet. I haven't seen him take over in the biggest moments. I'm sorry.
Have you been watching? Bill Walton has a very interesting, divisive NBA career.
Mm-hmm.
When he came into the league in the mid-70s, he was a phenomenon. That finals where Portland beat Philadelphia, he was the MVP. He was the second leading scorer on his own team, but he averaged 19 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
He did get hurt. You can't play the what-if game on the all-time greats. You can't do it.
No. It was just a different sport.
Absolutely. It was a different sport, but you have to go with body of work, mm-hmm. length of body of work.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Walton, for 4 years, was one of the big stars of the league, and then he hurt his foot in 1978. He was never the same. He's one of the greatest college players of all time. You can have that debate. But to say he's not as good an NBA player, or he's a better NBA player than what Steph Curry's done?
In a big moment, Steph Curry's averaging 27 points a game in the playoffs in his career.
Yeah. But he gets dinged for the NBA final.
Bill Walton was really good on that Trailblazers team that won the NBA final. You remember that team, don't you, Vinny?
The Trailblazers team?
Lyle Hollins.
Bobby Gross.
Maurice Lucas. Dave Twardzik. Johnny Davis, Corky Calhoun.
I don't remember that team as well as I should. We should have done Dueling
either.
Gambos in the Walton voice.
Oh, how'd you do that?
Bobby Gross. Lionel Hollins.
Twardzik.
Corky Calhoun. The finest human beings that's ever walked the
Boris
face of the
Dio.
Earth. Johnny Davis. Lionel Hollins came from Arizona State, not yet a member of the Conference of Champions, but a key cog in the 1976 NBA Finals team that won it all for Rip City. You ever been to Madagascar?
Do you see Bill Walton back in those days? He had this long, long red hair. He almost looked like you, Carlin, without the sideburns.
But he had like a red beard, too.
Yeah, and then he wore like this white headband. Yeah, it was a pretty cool look.
I should start wearing a headband. You're right.
No, you should get a haircut.
That's what you should
coming
do.
Soon.
That's what you should do.
Coming up next, we will be joined by the brand new head basketball coach, the University of Arizona, Tommy Lloyd, straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Wednesday edition of Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Changes going on at the University of Arizona with the men's basketball program and the new head coach at the helm of that program, Tommy Lloyd. He joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coach, thanks so much for the time.
Dan and Vince, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Congratulations on the job. Welcome to Arizona. Got to talk about, you know, the timing of everything, the way college basketball works. There's no easing into a new job with transfer portals and other transfers. I mean, how acclimated are you so far?
Well, you know, everybody down here has been amazing. I mean, they basically been walking me around with multiple people, pointing me in the right directions, taking care of, you know, human resources, meeting people, you know, so that's a big part of the transition. But then the other part is, you're right. I mean, college basketball, I mean, I've been saying this for the last few years. I mean, it's the wild, wild west when you get in April. So, you know, at the end of these seasons and, you know, people changing jobs and then, you know, players, you know, transferring. So, you know, we've tried to do our best, wrapping our arms around everything and, you know, and trying to solidify this roster down here as well as, you know, look at some other options.
Tell me, what piece of this job convinced you that, yeah, I'm going to leave this program that's on the cusp of finally getting that championship for a program that might be facing some sort of imposed sanctions?
Well, I mean, I think it's easy. I mean, it's Arizona basketball. I mean, I don't think you got to say much more than that. You know, I mean, obviously I've been in college basketball business for 22 years myself, but having grown up just a fan of basketball, I mean, the Arizona brand is really second to none. And you know, have been an assistant at Gonzaga. I was there for 22 years. You know, I think the time was right. And the opportunity was right. I mean, things kind of lined up, and, you know, I would have, and I mean, it's well-documented. I've been saying it, and it's from my heart. I wouldn't have left Gonzaga for any other program. So this is an opportunity I don't take lightly. I'm honored, you know, and super proud to be the head coach at Arizona, and I'm going to do everything I can to make this wild fan base happy.
Tommy Lloyd, the Arizona head men's basketball coach, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm sure you know about it during the process, the coaching search that was conducted by the powers that be down at Arizona. A lot of alumni, big name alumni, were very vocal in what they feel should happen. since you've been on the job, how has that that relationship between yourself, the program, and those big name alumni and former players, how has that gone so far? Where are you at in that process?
Well, you know, what was great is, you know, a number of them reached out to me, you know, before I even had a chance to come up for air, and, you know, thanking me and congratulating me and saying they'd be here, you know, to support in whichever way needed. And, you know, at the same point, like, listen, I understand, you know, I mean, I know I'm an assistant coach coming from Gonzaga. I mean, I'm not naive. I know I'm put in a position where I have to earn everybody's, you know, trust and support, and that's how I'm approaching it. And to be honest with you, I would have thought it was weird if they were supporting me to be the head coach here instead of supporting one of their former teammates. So, you know, I mean, these things happen. I think they're, you know, easily worked through, and, you know, and I'm going to do everything I can to honor, you know, those former players, because, you know, I come from a place where I know the pride the former players have in the program, and that's a real driving force and a motivating factor for me, and I want those guys to watch games with their kids, their grandkids, their family, and, you know, to get chills, you know, thinking about Arizona and the experience they had, and because they're definitely owners in the program.
Now, you're not the only new coach on campus there. I mean, Jed Fish just got hired as the new football coach, and there was a lot of similarities in the reaction, at least in the Arizona community. Have you had a chance to kind of pick the brain of Jed Fish on what he went through and the whole process that you're going through?
I mean, you know, we've met a couple times, you know, this last week, text numerous times, and actually, I mean, he reached out to me this morning, and, you know, he and I are going to meet up after work tonight and, you know, kind of get some good one-on-one time. And you know, I think the thing we have in common is, you know, he and I are both big team guys, you know, open, you know, to being out in the public, and we want to do this thing together, you know, so I think we're going to support each other and do everything we can to make each other successful down here.
Yeah, and I commend you for that, because there's a lot to be gained in being a community partner, particularly with the city of Phoenix and the Valley, and your predecessor had no interest in doing that, and I don't think that helped him, and I'm glad that you're not like that. All right, so if you get this thing rolling the way you wanted, what are some of the tenets of a Tommy Lloyd basketball program? What is this going to look like in a best-case scenario?
Well, you hit the word right. There's two tenets. I mean, it's team chemistry and player development. I mean, and, you know, and we're going to do everything we can to have amazing team chemistry, to recruit great kids, you know, to develop them as teammates and you know, and basically, you know, great human beings. And then, you know, player development, that's kind of my passion, is helping guys get better, you know, and growing over the course of their careers. And, you know, and that career could be a short one. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously we had Jalen Suggs this year, who's, you know, well on his way to hopefully a successful NBA career after 1 year in college. And, you know, we had two other guys, Juwan Ayayi and Corey Kispert, who are well on their way to, you know, probably being drafted this year, and they were four-year college guys. So, you know, I think it's really important this day and age to have that kind of, you know, kind of roster diversity, you know, with experience and new guys. And so, you know, but everything we're going to always do is going to be, you know, to be in the best, you know, team possible with great team chemistry, and that starts with our coaching staff. And then, you know, making sure guys get better and become better basketball players individually and better team basketball players every day.
I'm not sure the NCAA is really serving the sport of college basketball all that well. But that being said, how do you message recruiting in the short term, given whatever shadows or disincentives might be out there for people when they look at the program and what might be coming down?
Well, you know, hey, I mean, like I said, you know, obviously I have an idea what I'm stepping into. I did my research too, and the administration here has been great. You're never going to hear me complain about it, you know, because I know what I'm walking into. You know, and you know what we've been, you know, communicating with the recruits is, you know, hey, you know, obviously we can't make 100% predictions because, you know, this process is playing out. But the thing we can tell you, you know, with 100% certainty is, you know, we're going to love you. We're going to do everything we can to help you, and we're going to make sure you have an amazing college, you know, experience. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, we're going to try to prepare you to be able to make a living at this game.
Tommy Lloyd, the Arizona head men's basketball coach, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. You come, obviously, to Tucson with the reputation of being a great international recruiter. A couple questions on that. How much more difficult is it to recruit for an American program internationally, and how do you get so good at it?
Well, I mean, like anything, you know, to get good at it, the second question is you just put time in. Mm. Time in, and you develop genuine relationships, you know, and luckily I've been doing that for 20 years and have a good track record. So at this point, I think, you know, we're pretty efficient at it. You know, and it's, the model isn't going to be, you know, 12 international players. You know, that's not going to be the model. I'm walking into a situation, you know, where Arizona had gotten, you know, 3 or 4 international players last year. I might have an idea and another international player or two this year. But at the end of the day, I'm going to want, you know, balance on the roster, you know. And I think at best, you know, when we had our great teams back at Gonzaga, you know, sometimes, you know, we had 3 or 4 or 5 international guys. You know, we never had 10. So, you know, we had a lot of really good American kids too. So, and I've recruited a lot of good American kids, but, you know, that's not quite as, I guess, unique or sexy, you know. So everybody, you know, kind of runs with the international recruiting narrative. And for me, it's always been about, you know, I'm not worried about where the kid's from. I'm worried about if they're the best fit for the program. And what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to look at high school kids. I'm going to look at transfers. I'm going to look at, you know, maybe a prep school kid, you know, hey, junior college kid, maybe if it's the right situation. And we're going to look at international kids. And out of all those pools, you know, we're going to try to find the best fit for Arizona basketball.
All right, my last question. How do you make sense of the transfer portal and make it work for you? Because my big fear is that player development really might take a beating in this new era of just drive-through basketball players.
Well, that's a great point, but here, I don't think you have to follow the herd, you know, necessarily. And then for sure, you need to know how to use the portal to your advantage. And, you know, and at Gonzaga, you know, we had success with numerous high level transfers. And, you know, it's just about picking the right ones, you know, and making sure that, you know, their vision aligns with what our vision is. And, but you're right. I mean, I'm all for player rights. I got no issues with that, but I always saw the benefit in a player transferring and redshirting. Mm. I think it just really, really helps them develop, you know, and because, you know, let's not put it on kids. We're an instant gratification society these days. And what I always thought was, you know, the kids transfer for whatever reason, maybe they weren't satisfied. And everybody has their own story. So you can't lump them all in the same category. But they transfer because they didn't get the instant gratification they want. But then it forced them to slow down and redshirt and really learn about themselves, pay the price, develop, be patient, you know. And I just thought that's a huge character development year and basketball development year and physical development year. But now you're right. It's going to be instant gratification meets instant gratification.
Right.
And I don't know if that's a good thing, but, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I don't make the rules. I just play by them. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to adapt and do whatever I can to put Arizona basketball in the best position possible.
Coach, thanks so much for spending some time with us, giving a chance to our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. We appreciate it. Welcome to Arizona and good luck to you.
And let's do it again sometime, Tommy.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Tommy Lloyd, the head coach at Arizona men's basketball, joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Coming up next, the ultimate mock draft continues. Cardinals!
The Cardinals are on the clock!
We're on the clock. We'll make the pick next. It's Bickley and Marotta.
That was a vulture. That's not a cardinal.
That was a Carlin. We'll do it next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta, Bickley and Marotta.
The number one baseball video game returns. It's MLB The Show 21. Enter to win a copy on PlayStation or for the first time ever on Xbox. Head to the contest page on ArizonaSports.com. Now, for your chance to win, it's Bickley and Marotta. Thanks again to Tommy Lloyd for joining us. We are in the midst of our Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft. There's been 15 picks made, and that means we're up to number 16, and that means the Arizona Cardinals are about to make their selection in our Ultimate Mock Draft. But before that happens, let's catch you up on what's happened since.
Previously on the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
The pick is in. Let's go to the podium and see what they're going to do here.
With the 13th pick in the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive line, USC.
With the 14th pick in the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, Northwestern.
With the number 15 pick in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the wicked New England Patriots select quarterback Mac Jones, Alabama.
The Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
Ultimate Mock Draft.
Bigley and Marotta are on the clock.
I'll be honest, I don't think there was as many options as I hoped there would have been for the Arizona Cardinals at number 16, the way the first 15 picks have shaken out. Luckily, lots of players in this draft that we do like at a position of need. In fact, there were three corners that were very high on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are gone. But when you look at the long-term prognosis for the defensive backfield, yeah, Buda Baker is locked up. We brought in Malcolm Butler. Robert Alford is back. Can you rely on him? I think it is imperative with Patrick Peterson moving on in free agency to identify the corner of the corner number one of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, that being said, with the 16th pick in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Caleb Farley, cornerback from Virginia Tech.
Caleb Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech.
There's a lot to like about Farley, his size and his speed, first and foremost. When Farley is at his best, he's in press coverage. He has a good one-hand and two-hand jam, but is also patient enough to wait out receivers and then latch himself onto their hips. He also stays in excellent position downfield before making a play on the ball. Farley is exceptional at recognizing routes, aggressive against the run, fights his way through blockers, and is a sound tackler. While at times he gets turned around on some routes and allows receivers to cross his face, Farley has all the tools that every NFL team looks for in a cornerback. NFL Comp, Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith.
All the tools, that's not to say there's not some questions about Caleb Farley. He's an opt-out guy. I don't think that's a big deal. I think his explanation of why he opted out was very valid and very mature. He does have the injury concerns, too, with the back surgeries, but I think he's done a very good job of repairing a lot of the red flags that get waved about, stuff like that, and he's a very confident young man. The tools went out, so he's the pick for the Cardinals at 16.
I like the pick. I also think that this exercise of doing the ultimate mock draft kind of shows that the Cardinals might be one or two slots too low down the draft board to get either, you know, a wide receiver or one of the top two cornerbacks. But I do completely agree with your logic. In fact, I trust this team more to draft a cornerback than I do another wide receiver. They've shown no skill.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because Matt Miller, one of the draft analysts at ESPN, had a tweet today saying that he's hearing from people not connected to teams that the Cardinals are pretty hot and heavy about moving up to get a wide receiver.
Really? Okay.
And I know there was a lot of people in that boat last year that wanted them to do that. They didn't. I think, you know, the receivers that were in question last year, the Alabama receivers and Ruggs and Judy, they were both real shiny objects.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the greatest of rookie seasons.
Nope.
I think this group is different. I think this group is better. So this might be the year to do that,
yeah,
should they go down that road
in real
life.
At the same time, the people were talking the same thing last year about Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Judy.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow, which one of the three, who would you pick out of those three? I do agree with you that
Justin Jefferson was the best one.
Oh, yeah. And this year's class looks better than last year's class. It just seems to me that the football team is very old and... Well, I suppose it applies to wide receivers as well, but I just think their smartest move is to go cornerback, because if you look to me at the wide receivers who are left right now in our mock draft and the cornerbacks who are left right now in our mock draft, it seems to me that the best player out of those two position groups would be Caleb Farley.
Mm-hmm.
And
thought about Newsom as well.
Right. And so I think that that's I think this is very indicative of what the Cardinals are going to be looking at if they do not move up. Now, generally, and again, I'm not the biggest draft guy, so I'm just going by my general perceptions. I don't know about moving up to take a wide receiver. Moving up to take a transcendent tight end, that seems to me to be, okay, that's if that's a piece you really think is going to be growing in importance in the years to come, I get that. I don't trust this team to move up and select the right wide receiver. Just don't.
Now, the one thing that this ultimate mock draft didn't really have, which the real draft probably will have, is one or two out-of-the-blue surprise moves that weren't on anyone's mock draft boards that usually one or two teams are good for.
Yeah, there is that.
It sort of just sort of went how it was supposed to have gone.
Yeah, the ultimate mock draft will continue today with Burns and Gambo. Due to the early Suns game, they've got a short show today. So the Raiders at 17, Miami at 18 will be the picks, and they'll both happen in the 2 o'clock hour before they get out on their abbreviated show today. Text bonus right now to 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon at 135 to win $500. That's bonus to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Coming up, this current Suns team might not be great yet, but how great is their big three compared to past years? We'll get into that and more in social studies straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.